Greetings, 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 good people of the YouTubes. I am trying to do double duty here. So let me go live on the Book of Faces as well. Hello, everyone. It is so good to see you. I am Dr. Treasure Shields Redmond, and I am known as the Debt-Free Degree Expert. For those of you for whom this is your first time dropping by, or you are just stumbling across this video. So I just sent out some information that I will be going live today, talking about the connection between grades and scholarships, which seems simple. Most people feel like they know, you know, if you have some good grades, you're going to get scholarships, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that. There's a little bit more information than that. So I'm going to share that information today. So like I said, if this is your first time ever meeting me, my name is Dr. Treasure Shields Redmond, and I am known as the Debt-Free Degree Expert. Busy parents of college-bound teens come to my company, How to Find Scholarships, in order to secure top-tier education without massive debt. And I do that at howtofindscholarships.info. howtofindscholarships.info. You should go to that website and see what free resources, tools, and strategies are offered there, as well as see what it means to join the How to Find Scholarships Parent Academy. So it is a subscription community, and every month you get scholarships, you get one-on-one help, you get your team gets help writing essays, organizing tasks, prioritizing items so that they can get scholarships and get into college debt free. So let me see here. Now, the last time I was on the YouTubes, this this PowerPoint, or should I talking that way, is the time before that time. It told me that it was sharing just fine, and the whole video is just my voice and a black screen. So we shall see what's going on. Now, the question is, can Dr. Redmond also share the slides over on the Facebook? So let's figure out if I can share these slides over on Facebook. There used to be a way for you to quote unquote share your screen. So let me see. I'm already sharing to my group. Let me see here. Shared your stream. I am not seeing where it's really easy to share your screen like it has been in the past. It was like a very explicit button that was letting me know how to do it. So maybe it's under settings. No. No. No, unfortunately, over here on Facebook, it is not letting me share the screen as easily as it used to in the past. I am assuming it is because they know people would share inappropriate things, even though I'm not one of those people. So we're just going to, over on Facebook, you'll be able to hear the information, and then over on the YouTube, you'll be able to hear and see the information. So let's talk about scholarships and grades. So I have always advocated for parents to start at least by the spring of the junior year. So if your child is a junior in high school and they are junior in high school right now. This is the spring semester in the U.S. of the junior year of high school. Spring semester is January, February, March, April, and May. Fall semester is August, September, October, November, December. So I advocate for parents to start no later than the spring semester, because that really gives you enough runway to get scholarships, visit college campuses, write enough essays, eliminate some schools, take the SAT or the ACT, and so forth and so on. However, if you are the parent of a senior or someone that's already in college, the best time to start is now. So it's never too late, but it would be ideal if you started no later than spring of your junior year. I advocate that parents get on a weekly schedule. So at least once a week, they are working with their kiddo on something college related, preferably scholarships, and that in the fall of their senior year. So we're imagining that this family has started, this college bound family has started working on things spring of junior year. And so that means that January, February, March, April, May. They worked on things over the summer, June, July, they worked on things. And then in August, they were ready to really execute. They were ready to press submit on college applications. They had gotten the best test score that they could on either the ACT or the SAT and so forth. And I advocate that you maintain intensity, right? So one of the things that seniors have done is kind of once they get accepted to colleges, then they might let their grades fall. But I'm here to tell you that although you apply, some people only apply with their transcript up to their 11th grade year, because when you apply in November of your senior year, that first semester of your senior year, many people haven't even gotten their first senior report card. So, a lot of kiddos, after they get accepted to the school, they kind of slack off. But I'm here to tell you that the college is going to ask for your final transcript. Of course they are. They want to make sure you graduated. So you have to maintain the intensity in that way. And you also need to maintain the intensity of applying for scholarships. You don't run to them. So when you're thinking about scholarships, you're thinking about kind of like types of free money. Scholarships are one type of free money. Another place to get free money is the FAFSA. And you know what? You can't get into college without filling out the FAFSA anyway, the Free Application for Student Aid, FAFSA. It's a federal accountability instrument. Every college has to have one on every student. And it is how you are qualified to receive free money in the form of state grants, federal grants, and a program called Work Study. And if you're familiar with Work Study, and if you're not, it is a program through which your child can get a job on campus and receive the wages either in their pocket for expenses or to have their wages sent to financial aid or the bursar's office to satisfy any remaining debt. The free application for student aid is online and you don't fill it out until your kiddo's senior year in high school. Institutional funds, that's another type of free money, right? So that's the type of scholarship that most people are familiar with. When you hear people say, Johnny received a full ride to Tuskegee Institute, that is because Tuskegee Institute received their application, looked at their GPA, their extracurriculars, any essays they had to write, and decided, I'm going to offer them the Cadillac of scholarships. They got these good test scores and good GPA in early. Their application looks great. So we're going to give them a full ride scholarship. So that means the college is going to cover room, that's sleeping there, board, that's eating there, tuition, that's studying there, books, of course, those are the materials you need for class, and any fees. So colleges often charge, you know, lab fees or parking fees or activity fees and so forth and so on. And that means that full ride is going to cover all of that. Some people just get a tuition scholarship because tuition is the largest of those five items I mentioned: room, board, books, tuition, and fees. Tuition is the largest. So some people get a tuition only scholarship, which is great. But that's an institutional scholarship. And if you go to most colleges' websites, you can search their website for the word scholarships. And oftentimes it'll take you to their own list of scholarships or their own kind of bank of scholarships. State funds, scholarships that are just for people in your state. You know, sometimes the federal government gives out funds just for states. And one of the most well-known types is state grants. The federal government has allocated money for college to each state, and each state has named that grant something else. In Missouri, it's MAPS, MAPS. And in different, you know, states, it's named different things. But there are also scholarships that are just for people from your state that aren't connected to a college. So it might just be from a company that was founded in your state, right? So for instance, Walmart was founded in Benton, Arkansas. And there are scholarships that are administered by the family, the Waltons, who founded Walmart. That's just for people who want to go to college in Arkansas. That's an example of state funds, right? Another way that state funds might be allocated would be if the scholarship was by a regional organization or a big nonprofit, and they were just wanting to get kids to go into the farm industry in the Midwest, you know, agricultural education, agricultural science, animal husbandry, that sort of thing. And they might say, hey, this scholarship is only for kids from Nebraska, Wyoming, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. So one of the easiest way to find those funds is just to Google the words scholarships in and your state. Another type of funds is national funds, right? Some scholarships are for any child who is in the U.S., any child who's in the U.S. So, you know, those big ones that we know about, like Coca-Cola, or there's a Dr. Pepper one. There's a Foot Locker one. There's the Jackie Robinson Foundation, and so on. And there are lots of big companies, big nonprofits, big organizations. They hold national scholarships. And the strategy that I want to, you know, let you know about those big national scholarships is because they're from companies that are very famous oftentimes and have big budgets, they market it really well. You know, there's a Snapchat ad and there's a TikTok ad, and, you know, lots of applicants will be applying for that scholarship. So even though I don't want you to not apply for those, I don't want that to be your primary strategy. Really, your primary strategy should be institutional scholarships, the scholarships from the colleges, and local scholarships. Since the number of students who qualify is limited based on location, the chances of winning local scholarships are often greater than the odds of winning national scholarships. So how do you find those local scholarships? You're going to Google your city and state plus the word scholarship foundations. Scholarship Foundation, I'm sorry, without an S, Scholarship Foundation. So it might be Albuquerque, New Mexico Scholarship Foundation, or Atlanta, Georgia Scholarship Foundation, or St. Louis, Missouri Scholarship Foundation, or Boise, Idaho Scholarship Foundation. Almost every major city or region has a nonprofit that is a clearinghouse for local scholarships, and you can really rack up the funds, right? So let's get to this, what this video is this live, you know, experience is named for, titled about, and it's titled about, you know, grades and scholarships, what they have to do with each other. So let's talk about that. You know, of course, there are scholarships that ask for not an impressive GPA. Sometimes a college is really trying to draw in students into a certain field or major. And so they might lower the GPA because, hey, we just finished this engineering building. We are really trying to get more of our Hmong population, you know, these kids who are the children of immigrants, Asian immigrants and the Hmong people. We're really trying to get them into these engineering because, you know, we're under federal mandate to have a diverse campus and to, you know, diversify our student body. So we're going to say for this engineering, if you have at least a 2.7, you can get into the engineering scholarship, right? So that might be one reason why a college might, on a limited basis, seek out people who have less than a B average. But for the most part, the higher your grades, it's just like having another tool in your pocket. It's just a way to make sure you qualify for everything. Because see, if you have a 2.5, which is a C plus, and you can apply for a lot of scholarships, but there's a lot of scholarships that ask for a higher GPA, you won't be qualified for. But if you have a 3.5, you're going to be able to qualify for the ones that say, oh, well, all you need is a 2.5, and the ones that say you need to have a competitive GPA of 3.5 or higher. See what I'm saying? So you can apply for more scholarships the higher your grades are. So let's talk about how you can raise your grades. Number one, you need to choose courses at the right difficulty level. The right difficulty level. We're getting into this world of, you know, AP courses, honors courses, dual enrollment courses. AP courses or advanced placement, those are courses where at the end there's a test. And if you make above a 3, I believe, you can test out of whatever the corresponding college course is. So it might be freshman English. It might be freshman biology lab. It might be college psychology. And those classes are typically more difficult than a regular high school class. And oftentimes people fall into a trap of trying to take harder courses, and then they don't do well in those courses. So a college is going to be more impressed by a strong GPA with honors classes and regular classes than a mediocre GPA with a bunch of AP classes. So yeah, you took all these college level classes, but all you have is a C average. Whereas the student next to you, they took a couple of honors courses and a lot of just the regular curriculum, but they've got a 3.7. So, you know, I mean, you could say, well, those classes were harder, but, you know, the numbers are the numbers, and that's all colleges and scholarships have to go by. So really weigh out what you're trying to do and the sorts of colleges you're interested in applying to. If you're trying to go to elite colleges like Ivy Leagues, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, MIT, and so forth, then yes, your your transcript needs to have advanced placement courses on it. But if you're trying to go to schools that are not highly selective and not elite schools, then, you know, you might try one AP course a semester, but if you find yourself really struggling in those, it's okay to just take a regular high school course load. Number two, learn the difference between cramming and studying. These are ways to, you know, raise those grades up. So cramming is when you wait until the last minute and try to memorize everything you need to do for a test. Studying is when every day after school, you take a moment to look over everything you've gone over that day in class. That is studying. Studying is remaining familiar, making up little quizzes for yourself, making up flashcards for yourself, doing a couple of extra problems. You know what I'm saying? Spending 10 to 20 minutes on each of your subjects each day. That is studying. It's a percolation. It's just a simmer underneath school, right? But cramming is when you throw your books in the corner, then you remember, I looked on Blackboard, or I looked in my planner, or the teacher said today there's a big test, and I don't think about this stuff after I leave here. And then you stay up all night trying to memorize things. That is not a good strategy. Number three, way to raise your grades, practice bud nipping. There was this show that was out. It used to be in reruns because actually it was a show my mother's generation would have watched as it was originally airing. And it was called The Andy Griffith Show. And The Andy Griffith Show had this sheriff of this small town, and he had a coworker, and his name was Barney. And this is Barney on the slide. Y'all can't see it on YouTube, but on Facebook, but on YouTube, they can see Barney. And Barney is saying, nip it in the bud. You got to practice bud nipping. So when you nip it in the bud, here's what I mean as that pertains to grades. You know, high school is the last time that parents can step in and really throw our weight around, right? So, you know, 2 weeks into the semester, as we're looking at, you know, how this thing is going and what our kids are saying, and they're in some sort of personality conflict with the teacher, or the classroom has people that they have a negative history with in it, or they realize early on that they are out of their depth with the coursework, it's the last time that you can go in and say, you know what, this is my child's senior year. This is my child's 11th grade year. We're trying to make sure our transcript looks good. Let's change that schedule. Yeah, let's change that schedule right now. I demand that we change the schedule. That's the last time you won't be able to do that when they go to college. All that hovering and helicoptering, it's over. But in high school, you can get in those last few. I'm the mama bear, and we're going to handle this. And I really do suggest that you don't try to give it a semester. Now, some kids will surprise you and they'll pull it through. But I'm going to tell you, high school is short. And there aren't a lot of opportunities to pad that GPA. So I am a fan of nipping it in the bud. Number four, pay attention to the teacher's syllabus, how grades will be calculated. All right. You want to raise those grades so you can get into more colleges and get more scholarships. So when the teacher passes out that syllabus, you need to look at those things and think strategically. If the teacher says, well, class participation is a third of the grade in my class, that lets you know they're not trying to do these crickets with you and this whole thing where every time you open your mouth, it has to be the right answer. They want people who are asking questions. It's okay for them to be wrong out loud. They want people who go up to the board and try to work through a problem. They want people who raise their hand and predict the next, you know, events in a story. They want class participation, because it's a third of your grade in their class. So pay attention to how grades will be calculated and then think strategically. If you have a teacher and homework is only 5% of their class, then that lets you know that that weekend that you went out of town with your family and you missed homework, you don't have to have a spin out and an emotional breakdown over that, because you looked at the syllabus and saw it was only 5%. I do well on tests. I'm participating. I did well on the group project, so I can still pull this A out. Right. So you have to, you know, think strategically about that syllabus. 5, teen and parent partner up. This is how to raise grades, right? So you need to let your parent in on, you know, what's happening. Parents, you need to look at the syllabi that at the beginning of the semester, you know, sit down with your teen and ask them, you know, what did the teachers pass out today? What are you thinking about that? Oh, I noticed right here that there's an opportunity to go study to like take a trip abroad. Ooh, let's start working toward that, because this French class actually goes to France this semester. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So in the gym class, you guys are going to be studying bowling. Okay, cool. You know, you just partner up with them about the curriculum and, you know, stay connected. I know that we're supposed to be, you know, letting out those apron strings so they can show more responsibility. But the truth is, in high school, teens still need a parent. And if you want to not consign them to 20 years of debt, then we really need to partner up with them and pay attention to school. So just to reiterate, you need to start on this scholarship journey no later than spring of the junior year. If you haven't started yet, start now. Stay on a weekly schedule, check in with your kid completing something on that in that area every week. By the time you get to senior year, you're going to execute. You'll be ready to push submit on those college applications and fill out a whole bunch of scholarship applications. And then you want to tell your child to maintain the intensity. Senior year, there's a temptation to get senioritis. I mean, a lot of them have been in school over 12 years because they started at preschool. So some of them will be going into their 15th year of school. But you just got to keep those spirits up, keep the intensity up. You're almost there. All right. Good people of we want to avoid debt massive. I hope that this was valuable for you. And if you have any questions, feel free to, you know, message me in the Facebook group, DM me on the social medias. And if you're a member of the community, you can email me, and you might even have my text number where you can text me. So I'm Dr. Treasure Shields Redmond, your debt-free degree expert, and I want you all to have a fantastic rest of your weekend. Bye.